Thank you so much for your attendance once more. Let's also welcome the IDC. It's been long since we interacted with you. Bob Kleiner, we hear that this is your last year, or 2 months, I guess, with the IDC. The committee have issued a statement which will be circulated to members. I just realized it was not circulated to members. I think we'll do the rest after the meeting, before we close the meeting. As of now, we'd like to welcome all of you, Team IDC, under the leadership of Ubabu Kleiner. I can see the chair is not here today. As usual, you came well prepared, well represented. We can't complain. And congratulations once more on your audit outcome. The fact that you've changed the auditors because of the challenges that were faced by your former or previous auditors. We are told that you have since appointed new, or the board has since appointed the new auditors in the name of Susan Zaluba Koboto, Inc. We know that you also faced some challenges in terms of, because of the economic challenges that we all are accustomed to, but as usual, you always have a good response. Today, we are going to hear more about how you navigated through the challenges of the year and how you performed against your own targets and indicators. How you also responded to some of the issues raised by this particular committee, and the way forward will also be presented to us, I guess, by yourself, Babu Kleiner, and the team. What we can do now is just to give you our utmost attention as you make a presentation on your annual report and your financial statements as audited. We do not have new members, or we except Umehlonyane, you know her? Okay. And the member here is Mr. Madela, if you did not know her. He's a member of parliament too. Otherwise, the committee is still as you know it, no other new members. And our staff is as is, no changes made. May I hand over to you, Mr. Kleiner.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair, and let me first apologize on behalf of our Chair of the Board. She did express an apology. She normally comes and she takes these interactions very seriously. Unfortunately, this time she couldn't, and I take the blame because I was traveling and the committee was kind enough to accommodate me. I wanted to ensure that I am present as the chair of the committee, says this is my last interaction with the committee, which I truly appreciate. I look back on the first day when I started fumbling and all, and 13 years later in a bit as a CEO, I cannot thank the committee for all the support, but I'll do that at the end again. But once more, thank you, Chair, and thanks for accommodating us. Before we start, I just want to get a sense, how much time do we have for presentation?
do not have a limit.
Okay.
But we'll appreciate it.
Okay.
Sorry. Yes, we do not have a limit per se, but we'll appreciate if you can use up an hour or so, depending on, because what we need is for you to cover as most of the issues as possible. That's the main reason why we are here. We want to listen to you and be able to interact with the issues as presented.
Okay, thanks, Chair. That's helpful. So, Chair, we will, as you say, we will go through the performance, operational performance and the financial performance for the year that has passed. Our year end is March, like all state-owned entities. And then we will engage with the committee in taking questions. Chair, the presentation, we will play an 8 to 10 minute video. I think it will give a sense. We've used it when we were also presenting our results to some of the stakeholders. End of August, we presented our results in Free State because we try and be present in every province, not only to indicate that IDC is a national DFI, but also to give those entrepreneurs an opportunity to engage with us, because in some instances there's potential for projects. So we'll do the video, Chair, and then we'll go through the presentation. It will be a collaborative effort with the team. You will notice, Chair, this time I brought a very big team. I thought we want to match the team with the committee in terms of numbers, and I think we might just be having more. Chair, I brought the team, a big team this time, to give comfort to the committee that there is depth at the IDC. It's not only me. And the committee would notice that some of the people that are here, it's the first time they come, so that we don't bring the same people, so that you get a sense, but also to give them an exposure as well of what the committee looks for, what are the issues, so that when we go back and we ask for everybody to go an extra mile, people have an appreciation of that. So let me introduce the team, Chair, quickly before we play the video. We have Piwe Marumo. She's right at the end there. The committee would know her. She's the manager in my office. And then we have Lizo Ntloko. Lizo, if you raise your hand so that we can see. So Lizo Ntloko is the regional manager of the province here. And next to Lizo is Mazwi Tunyiswa. Mazwi is the head of mining and metals unit. You'll see when we talk about the activities, his unit has done the most in the last 3 years in a row. And then next to Mazwi, we have Lucretia Kumalo. Lucretia is our new executive. The committee would recall we had said in the past, one area we need to strengthen is our investments, subsidiaries and the large ones, and we needed to make sure that we provide a good resource to ensure that we follow through, we're closer to them, we help them turn around, we ensure that they commit or they perform in terms of what they've committed. So Lucretia is an executive in that unit. So it's post-investment and subsidiaries subsidiaries and large investments. So she does two parts. Next to behind Lucretia, we have Mpumelelo. If you can stand up, just as good. Mpumelelo is our intern. We do, from time to time, take interns to expose them, the young ones, so that they hopefully get the bug of development finance institution to ensure that we have enough pipeline. But he's based here in Cape Town. And then we have Nontokozo Hadebe, who it's not in Pakistan, that's a bonus. Ntokozo is not the first time she comes here. She is the head of strategy in the unit. So all the difficult questions, committee members go to her. And then we have next to her, Phakamile Mainganya. Phakamile is our chief risk officer. He's been at IDC for almost 4 years in the past. It's almost 4 years. So when the committee says we are expensive, I'm sure Phakamile will explain why we are expensive. Not the committee, with the feedback that the committee gets from some of the members in their constituency. Next to Phakamile, we have Lizeka Matega. Lizeka is a manager, is our executive in industrial infrastructure, agro-processing, and automotives. It's not her first time as well here. And next to Lizeka, just next to me here, is our chief financial officer, Nonkululeko Dlamini. I'm glad the chair says there's no complaint, because it's a really good balance, gender-wise, chair. We've made sure. So as you can see, this is the first time, chair, we have four executives. I brought four executives. There's about 12 of us in total. So I brought four, so that the committee has a sense that this has never been a one-person show. So, Chair, let's play the video and then I'll take through the presentation then. Thanks.
The Industrial Development Corporation continues to harness opportunities in some of the key sectors of the economy. The corporation looks to boost black industrialists, women and youth entrepreneurs that are committed to transforming the local economy. The success is in transforming industries and communities and driving economic growth throughout the country. Within the 2017-2018 financial year, there's been approximately 16.7 billion rand worth of transactions approved and 15.4 billion rand in total funding disbursed for this financial period. 7.9 billion rand was approved for black industrialists during this time. 2.2 billion rand going towards women-owned businesses, and 1 billion rand went to supporting youth-owned businesses. In the Free State, a region which is arguably South Africa's breadbasket, the IDC wants to enhance its presence so it continues to impact positively on its role of creating competitive industries amongst its other objectives. Since opening its doors to the public, the region has over the last 5 years approved about 320 million rand in funding to various businesses.
My name is Nina Yose. I'm the regional manager of the IDC in the Free State. My role is to coordinate all the funding that happens. In the last financial year, we approved 6 projects. 5 of those were new clients to the region.
In the capital city of Bloemfontein, the IDC approved funding of over 8.5 million rand to Topline Plastics, a manufacturer of flexible plastic materials. This investment is to assist the company's expansion plan and create 16 additional jobs.
Topline Plastics makes actually more of a high-end plastic bags and specialized forms that actually service the retail industry and actually quite a bit of manufacturing sector in the Gauteng region and Free State region. We started actually form a relationship with IDC back in 2015. We have actually rapidly grew our turnover and our product range. And I think it's actually been a great partnership between us and IDC. We are busy expanding our second expansion. We are building another 1,400 square meters. And by that, we are actually acquiring 2 more printers that's actually assisting with our printing capacity. And we grew from a 6 staff member to currently it's actually 76. The workforce come from surrounding areas, actually Botshabelo, Tabanchu, the local Bloemfontein area.
Machine operator on a Topline Plastic. The Kale Ubusebenza upper a Topline go 2013 to 2018 Gafu Wat. Send Fungeka Kulunjova de la Topline into the Sending.
Okay, to deal with IDC is quite a lengthy process, and I think it's difficult, but once again, it will help you in the end, because they will send our professional people, a due diligence team, that they should come and analysis your company. And I think that's actually a very big difference between a conventional bank than IDC. SoftBank has maintained a minimum of 20% growth year to year on turnover. I think with our project that we are expanding, I would wish that actually SoftBank and IDC can go a very long way.
A 100% black-owned supplier of chemicals of hygiene and sanitation, as well as lubrication solutions for conveyor belts in the industrial space, Kivale Chemical Group has successfully partnered with the IDC to create employment opportunities in the strategically positioned town of Harry Smith.
Kivale Chemicals was started by a group of experienced professionals in the field of FMCG, which is a fast-moving consumer goods market. We manufacture detergents, disinfectants, and we also do water treatment. Over and above that, we have adhesives and technologies that we supply to the markets, food and beverage mainly. We are also supplying water boards like Umgeni. The whole plant has been built around IDC funding. We formed Kivale was we wanted to inspire young people.
Which is Western Free State, Kihole Siteng, and then Kakena University of the Free State. My life has changed a lot since I started working at Kivale Chemicals. For me, it's a big opportunity to work from a big scale of analysis and then also of production. To see a company producing chemicals in the state is a big opportunity, and also it's a growth of the state. Young people, they're going to be motivated to see the company that is producing science and then is developing IT and technology in the state, because I remember when I was in university, we used to argue, you're studying physics and chemistry, where are you going to work? And then everyone will be like, I don't know, maybe at Sasol. But now, Kivale Chemicals is here.
I feel proud to serve in a black-owned company as a young black female, like in the chemical industry. Mostly it's male-dominated. So as umuntu omnyama owesifazane ku engineering, izongisiza nami ukuthi ngikwazi ukuba more exposed and then ngithole ne-experience ku engineering kule area le esihlala kuyo. Nami ngizokwazi ukukhuthaza abanye abantu besifazane abamnyama abafana nami ukuthi baze basijoyine, bangabi ne-fear yokujoyina this engineering field.
We are here in Free State for a couple of reasons. One, we chose this place, which is Harry Smith, because of the position. To get to Cape Town, to get to Joburg, to get to Durban is easier. The second one is a special economic zone, which is going to give us benefits that we need to be able to accelerate our growth. Dealing with IDC initially, it was not easy, because we didn't know what needs to be done, and who do we talk to. Once you build a relationship and you know who to talk to about what is required, things are got easier. The future growth we are expecting is more to expand our market. We still have room to expand in South Africa and in the continent. We want to end up being a truly global company by also tackling even European market.
Just outside the picturesque town of Clarence in the Eastern Free State, the IDC facilitated funding for the expansion to grow this female-led business in the agricultural economy.
Lowest Cheese is an artisan cheese cheesery here in the Eastern Free State. We try to make different cheeses that you don't find commonly on the shelf everywhere. So we try to create unique cheeses. My first employee is Jeanette. She's been working with me for 5 years now. And we decided to use the people that live on farms. They don't have the job opportunities of people that live in town.
Before I get to Shambolala,
that needs to mature for about a year to 2 years. We have two big walk-in fridges where now if you produce more cheese, you need to keep it cold. We have a smoker, a new smoker, where I can smoke much more cheese at a time. So we've created a whole venue where people can come and buy cheese. And where they can have cheese platters and a glass of wine and just come and enjoy it with us. Our cheeses are sold on markets all over. Last week we went down to the Game Festival in the Eastern Cape. We've been invited to the South African Cheese Festival in Stellenbosch. We went there. So we get a lot of exposure. And because of this exposure, there's a bigger demand for us, and because there's bigger demand, now we are able to produce more where we couldn't do it before.
As part of our efforts to transform the economy and accelerate the development of black industrialists, the corporation approved funding of 43.3 million rand towards the growth of Rietfontein Agri Partners, which is a medium-sized agro-processing milling plant in the small town of Tweeden. This company will create over 100 jobs in the area, which is battling severe employment challenges.
We're going to be constructing a plant for maize mill on this site, and quite a number of other products like animal feed will also be processed from this site. I chose Rietfontein because I'm a farmer, and in the wake of the 2015 drought, I had to have a plan B. They normally say a Boer maak 'n plan in Afrikaans. So to me, it was a challenge. Fortunately, with the help of IDC, I was able to make it through. The IDC assisted in funding the purchase of the machinery. This site is about 4 hectares in size. But the whole
construction or the plant is going to take about 2 hectares. Now, the role of Rietfontein here, it is actually one, to make sure that there is production, two, to make sure that we create jobs for people here, because I'm going to employ 100 people from this community. So this is going to change the whole complexion and the mindset of the community here.
The project is going to be a whole, like the community, then the one about the Hobbitanian, like the small business, the Hona, Hosawana, then I think it doesn't hold for Utusa, who never shall be doing, or like Hale Vela, like what is your creation under community. So, Kion and it was starting, like it will benefit our. So, that's why we support us. Consider our credit for the BCB.
All emerging farmers and the commercial farmers, they will be depositing their production at these silos. My hopes is to see the plant finished, machinery inside, people from this township having jobs, and there will be quite many other spin-offs out of this initiative.
With IDC as a strategic partner, the future for the Free State with regards to job creation is quite bright. There are a lot of opportunities in the province, and IDC funding can act as a catalyst to bring those projects into fruition so that the people of the Free State are employed with decent jobs.
With a growing national footprint and the development funder of choice, the IDC remains open to new partnerships that aim to empower, transform, and grow businesses and the economy. The Industrial Development Corporation, your partner in development finance.
Thanks to the chair and to the members for indulging us. You would notice, chair, this one was focused on Free State because that's where we presented the results. So we normally do it for each province. We had earmarked Free State. You'll see, because this is one province that has been stubbornly low in terms of our levels of activity. So we're not there yet, still. But we're working hard, Chair, to ensure that indeed we do improve the level of activity. So the presentation, I'll do the first part, and the second part will be done by the Chief Financial Officer, Nkululeko Dlamini. So the presentation briefly will go through, the first part is the overview of the year. I will not spend too much time because we're presenting now 9 months into the new calendar year, and a lot of things have happened. But it is important for us to give a sense, at least to say when we did all that we did, what was the environment like? So that's just for that. So, but we won't spend too much time. I'll do the operational performance. Some of it would have been highlighted in the video, and then the Chief Financial Officer will do the financial performance, and then we would look ahead. Because as I said, Chair, unfortunately, the economic situation has not improved. If anything has gotten worse, we're having this presentation when indeed we are in a technical recession, and we hope with a number of initiatives, including the stimulus initiatives that the President spoke about, can really help turn us around. Just briefly on the year that we're presenting the results. On the global front, we had seen good growth. That growth largely been driven by emerging markets. However, the sub-Saharan Africa, although combined, contributed in terms of 2.8 growth. However, two economies being South Africa and Nigeria are the ones that have actually been dragging that one down in, even though the growth globally was good in 2017. In fact, last week we were at the World Economic Forum, We still seeing that they will, well, the predictions are there'll still be positive growth, even though will be a little bit reduced for this year. That is on a global front, and the developing countries will still continue to be the ones that are contributing substantially to that growth. However, the trade wars will have got potential of slowing down the overall global growth. On the domestic front, which was in the year 2017 when we reported, our growth was still there, although modest. Fixed investments were still there, but not to the levels that we'd want, because we want as a country to be really ensuring that we increase our level of growth. We did have a trade surplus. One part which continued to be a bit of a challenge was the business confidence, and also two of the rating agencies at that stage already had rated South Africa on the sub-investment grade. We still have Moody's, who are still keeping South Africa on a investment grade. There's a problem with the computer. I need help. I need help. But we have a presentation, Danny. So maybe let me go through the presentation. I'll go through slides whilst we try and bring back the projected one. So I'm on slide 6. During this period that we were reporting on slide 6, it shows the sectors and how they contributed. As I said, a lot of things had happened where in that period agriculture helped actually to contribute positively. But we know as we've gone into a technical recession now, agriculture is one of those that has not performed. One part which has continued to be stubbornly difficult to grow has been on the manufacturing side, because even in 2017 there we saw a contraction, and which is one area ourselves as a DFI should continue to ensure that we put all our efforts to ensure that we increase that. So that gives you a sense of which sectors contributed and how year on year when the contribution was, and you can see most of them have really, particularly on the manufacturing sector, there's been negative right through, and that has continued even in this year that we are under, which we're not reporting. On slide seven gives you just a broad overview of how we've performed, where over 200 transactions, just under 17 billion was approved, over 15 billion was dispersed, just under 30,000 jobs expected to be created or saved. We'll unpack these numbers as we go through. And we've shown what we approved in the manufacturing sector. We highlight that, as I indicated, because that's one sector which we found it to be difficult in terms of growth as a country. What was very important for us this year as well is just under 8 billion to black industrialists, so that as we help stimulate the economy, we continue to ensure that it transforms. Although we've approved over 2 billion for women, but year on year that was reduced, so that's one area which we'll continue to improve. Even though the previous year we had one big transaction that has contributed to that. Youth, that's one area which we need to improve. I will unpack, even though in terms of our long-term targets for women and youth, we're already close to meeting those. In fact, for women we've met, and for youth almost. But year on year we did not do well. So the one other part which the CFO will talk about is the net profit after tax. For us, that's a measure of our sustainability, really, to say that are we able to sustain ourselves so that we can do all that we want to do. And then with that, also our assets have grown, so that gives us that base to be able to ensure that we do what we're supposed to be doing at the back of that, either be it in terms of borrowing and all that. So now, looking at the operational performance on slide 9, where we've compared over the last 5 years. We normally do that. We have a rolling 5 year comparison. You would see in terms of approvals, it's the highest in 5 years, not only in terms of value, but also in terms of number. It's important that we also grow in number so that you don't only give only big transactions, but you also give an opportunity to the small and medium size. One other part that we also measure is the amount of money that we disperse. It's well and good for us to approve. But what is also more important is for us to disperse, because it's only when you disperse then those jobs that we expect to create will indeed be created. So over the 5 years, for those two measures, it does indeed indicate that we have increased our level of activity, even though the environment that I painted was indeed a difficult one. Slide 10 is just a reminder to the committee. You recall 4 years ago we changed our strategy. In fact, we said we want to look at the value chains to ensure that we are not only are we proactive, but we increase the level of activity, and we do that without unnecessarily increasing our costs of as IDC. And over these 4 years, I can say we will see when we look at where we've invested that we've tried to follow that. Not all areas we've done as well as we wanted to. We'll see in the rest of the continent we have not done well. But in terms of these sectors, indeed, our investments have been targeted to that. And those help really contribute on the manufacturing as well. So on the value chains, so that gives us that sense. On slide 11, so this is an indication for the year that we are reporting where the bulk of the investments are. So we've looked at it in terms of number and value. So metals and mining value chains was the largest, as I indicated that when I introduced Mazwi, and they've been contributing for the last 3 years in a row. That's been one part. The area which we've seen a good growth, although not enough, but a good growth, on the agro-processing and agriculture. Lizeka will hopefully maybe give you an opportunity to say a word or two, because there we know that's an opportunity for us to create more jobs. Chemicals has continued to contribute positively. Industrial infrastructure this time contributed over $1 billion, even though we did not do large renewables, which in the other years where we've seen that contribution they have. I mean, as we speak, our investments in the renewables is just about $1 billion, give or take, if you take equity and that, which is just over 14 billion rands. And we know, I mean, for at least 2 years that we didn't have any of the new ones. So that pie chart just gives you a sense of where the money is, which is still predominantly in the value chains. Slide 12. Chair, we thought let's do that slide so that it gives the reader a good sense of where does the money go. So, you know, development finance institutions, by their nature, should be playing a role in bringing in new capacity. How do you do that? You do that by helping those that want to expand and by also helping those that want to start. So when you look, the first two, that's what we've been doing over the years. I mean, if you look on the 5 years on balance, if you look on in total, 45% has been on expansions and just about 40% has been on startups. It's a good thing. It comes with its interesting challenges. We will talk about that. In fact, I'll ask the chief risk officer, what does that mean? Because it means there'll be periods early on where you're not getting any of the money because people have not generated that turnover. So it would mean there'll be higher risk, but that's what we have to do. We're a development finance institution, so that should be that. And we've seen also in time, we have approved monies in distressed companies. In total, it's about 9%. If you look on the last 5 years, the total there, that dark gray one. Also, it gives you a sense to say, as a development finance institution, indeed, we are targeting on areas where we want to do, where it's difficult for people to do startups, thank you for that, where it's also difficult for people to help those that want to expand because people are worried about the risk. So this was to say on slide 12 that indeed, Chair, we are doing what were expected of us. So the next couple of slides I will go through maybe a little bit faster, but we'll go through different value chains just to unpack it for you because we've done it globally. So you'll see that's slide 13, but we're back on the screen. So on the left, we show the split in which subsectors where we've found those investments. So you'll see there's mining, there's basic metals, it's color-coded, fabricated metals, machinery, and motor vehicle parts and other parts. So we've compared year on year, gross approvals, net approvals. It's important for us to show both the net approvals. In fact, in all the global numbers that you'll see, when we said we've approved over 15 billion, it's net or dispersed. It's net because sometimes we approve things and then for various reasons we get those cancellations to happen. And then in some instances, then you'll see the numbers reduce. You'll see in some of these, when we go through them, some of them become negative if the cancellation is much bigger than the gross. It's not that there was no activity in that particular year, but we might have had one or two big transactions that have been cancelled. So on the right, still on slide 13, it gives you a sense of where the activities are in terms of funding Black empowered companies, those that have at least 26% BE. Most importantly, Black industrialists. As we know, we're working very well with the Department of Trade and Industry. They provide the grant part, we provide the facility, either debt or equity. So when we refer to Black industrialists in all of these slides, this is the amount that IDC has contributed. It does happen that in some transactions we do it jointly with DTI, but we will not count DTI's money, so we're counting IDC's money. And we also track women and youth, that's one part. What we have done during this period as well, we've seen ourselves participating in assisting in the coal mining, where those people will be supplying coal to Eskom, as we know, that Eskom continues to have coal. Before I step off, Mazwi, do you want to add anything on this part? If you do, you press the button there, because that's your part of the business. You good?
Chair, I think the mining sector has experienced a bit of difficult times, in particular the platinum sector, and you know, as a result, there is a great impact. So you will see that in terms of mining, the approvals have reduced a little bit because of the sluggish environment. However, the coal sector has been very good, and thus we have at least a balance there to create some jobs within the coal sector supporting to Eskom. But overall, I think the approvals have been sustainable. Thank you.
Thanks, Mazi. I'm sure we'll take questions. So, Chair, what we've done for every section, then we have an example. We'll just highlight, I won't spend time on it, we've just highlighted what it is. I mean, some of the companies that we funded in that. So the next value chain is the agro-processing in agriculture. As I said here, we've seen a lot of activity going up, coming really from a very low base, and we're working hard. We're focusing largely on the processing side, but we also work with the likes of the land bank. We know for this year that we're talking about now, that we are under, not we are not reporting yet, agriculture has contracted a bit. So this is one area where we want to continue to improve. Lizaga, do you want to add anything?
Thank you, CEO. I think, Chair, as CEO said, when we were here last year, we showed very low numbers, but we've since stabilized in terms of leadership as well. But also, I think in terms of our strategy, we really focused, and the results are yielding the benefits. You'll see on the left, it's more driven by your processing, which is our strategic thrust, as well as the horticulture. And that's where we think we're going to get jobs. You will also see we're going to play a significant role as well in terms of the stimulus of the country, in terms of the horticulture. So we are on the right path. We still believe this is a sector that will give us a jobs rich. Thank you.
Thank you, Lizaga. And then we also have a very interesting example, Chair, based in Eastern Cape, but it's going to expand. This is here where we really help industrialists and giving those people an opportunity in areas where we know there's high levels of unemployment. The next value chain is the chemicals and pharmaceuticals value chain. This one, by its nature, it finds itself to be very, particularly on the basic chemicals, it tends to be very capital intensive, and we don't get as many jobs as possible. One area which we're working hard on is on the pharmaceuticals. There's still scope for us to do more. We've done well relatively, but there's still scope. But also, we also look at other new technologies, and hence we report to the fourth industrial revolution. Because this one also feeds from a unit which we call new industries in terms of new technologies and ensuring that we take advantage of that. So this area has done well, but it's still got scope to do even more going forward. And we have an example to that effect. And the next one is industrial infrastructure, which is also under Lizaga. So Lizaga, do you want to add anything? All right, so for this one, it's fine. I think what we'll see is now with the renewables now opening up, I think in the next years to come, they will do a little bit even much more. One part which we're putting in an effort and time is on the logistics. That's why we've got an example here. But one area is on the water to see how best we come up with and come up with some interventions. I know when the Cape Town City had some water challenges, the team were looking at a number of interventions. But some of them have taken a little bit long, but we will continue to do that. We're not going to relax because we have rains. We must make sure that we continue to be more proactive. So, yeah, we're showcasing in intermodal terminal. The beauty about this is that as now one of our neighbors opens up, it will help in terms of the movements of goods and across the border. So, and at the same time, we're also supporting the black industrialists. The next value chain is on clothing, textiles, and leather and footwear. So we have here, although the largest part has been on companies that we have funded in the past, but this part of the unit, Chair, has been spending a lot of time talking to retailers, encouraging them to procure locally, and we've made some good gains. Also together with the Department of Trade and Industry, we've continued to work together, come up with incentives and collaboration to make sure that we modernize some of these old machines to make sure that people then respond. And then I think for me, when I look back and I'm saying, indeed, we're making a good headway, this is this one. Because where we've seen in the past where some retailers were very reluctant in procuring locally, they would prepare to import, and now they're thinking differently. Well, it has helped also now that the rent has been very weak for them, so then they've thought otherwise. What you will see, Chair, at the end, we've asked one of our clients that we own 100%, Sheraton Textiles. Lizo, where is that thing? Yes, can you just bring one? So we will, as we normally do, Chair, with we will get the committees to sample the product, this is coming from one of our clients. Hopefully the committee members will buy more,
This is only, so each member will get something. It's about 656 rands, so that you declare. 656 rand. Which you will declare, but this is, comes from us. You can go to the Edcon Group or Mr. Price Home. You'll find some of this. This is produced locally, so we'll give you one. Please go and buy more. So that is just to showcase some of the things that South Africa does indeed produce. But when I look back, Chair, you know, the interventions, I know sometimes DTI... is accused of putting too much money in auto and all of it, but this part, this is where you actually see the incentives working, where you see jobs being saved and being created with the modernization, and then we top up then with it. So there's a number of other things that we do. So this is one sector that, Chair, will continue to do that. The example that we've highlighted is on the blankets, is in the, it's in Gauteng. This one is pure import replacement, which is what we want. So they were giving them new equipment. And then the other unit, which we also showcasing, which I go through quickly, is in Media and Motions. It's a unit which, if you look at it on its own, it doesn't. We don't put in a lot of money, but the indirect impact it has on other sectors is very good. But also it allows to tell the South African stories, not only providing facilities, but it also allows, I mean, we got a studio in Johannesburg for largely television production, which we've done, but also there's new movies. In fact, there's this movie which we showcase in EHM. This one is bidding to go for the Oscars, so the team say it's got a good chance, so hopefully we can get another Oscar, because we haven't had an Oscar in a long time except for Tsotsi, so hopefully we can. And this one, it's our true South African story. Hopefully we can get another one, so we'll have that. And then we have new industries. New industries for us is very important. You will not necessarily see big values in these, but there's a lot of potential that some of these might actually be new industries into the future. So, because as we know, the world continues to change, so it is important that we support this. This used to be under Lizeka until we shuffled and until end of July. So maybe Lizeka, do you want to add anything on this one?
Thanks, CEO. Maybe here what I wanted to highlight, when we were here last time, we spoke about the fourth industrial revolution and our readiness. And this is the unit that has really spearheaded that call, where you'll see mainly in the year that we are presenting on, they've done a lot of work in terms of technologies that talks to the 4IR, energy storage, the Sabi Nano that is put here as a case study. So we've done a lot of those projects. What we need to do going forward is a consolidated approach from an organizational point of view. So it's not really this unit. Also, the mining sector must be preoccupied about fourth industrial revolution, similarly to agriculture, how you smart irrigate, for example, using drones. And that's something that as a corporate we're now focusing on. But this unit has actually done it much quicker than other unit. And its whole value chain to the mining minerals, for example, that are key for fourth industrial revolution.
Thanks, Lisa. And then we have other manufacturing industries, tourism and other sectors under services. So here, those would be the areas which we... In fact, these have got an ability also to help us support new entrance into the economy, and it covers a number of parts. The parts that we will, at least where we are, we're seeing opportunities, particularly the rest of the continent, is on the tourism aspect. But also it's one area which, as part of this stimulus and going forward, I know tourism was not mentioned by name, but that's one area which we're also focusing on, where one sees an opportunity. I mean, as I said, we went to the World Bank meetings and we went to Bali, and there the industry is largely tourism, and you can see how that part of the world is really benefiting on this. How many jobs are being created? I think there's interesting lessons that one is bringing back home to say, how do you use the communities in terms of ensuring that you really increase on tourism itself? So this is one area. So we've got an example there. Now, Chair, it's well and good for us to be busy, but if in the process we don't create employment, I don't think we'll be doing enough. So we've tracked over the last 5 years, and this year we think we will do a little bit more. Yeah, but the numbers look impressive, but we know in the scheme of things there's still a lot of work to be done. So we're under no illusion that we've arrived. We know this is one area where we continue to ensure that indeed we increase that, because we need to increase those numbers so that we continue to create more employment. Chair, transformation is part and parcel of what we do. So it's important that that happens. So for us, it's not even something that we talk about now. It's something that we report and we track. So ensuring that there's a transformation in our activities is part of that. And then for this year, as you can see, the last 3 years, I mean, in between them, almost 30 billion has been on in entities that are either black industry, black empowered or black owned. That's what we will continue to do, Chair. Women participation is very important. As I said, even though we had set ourselves a target of 4.5 in 5 billion, we've already achieved that in 3 years, but we're not sitting down. We want to do more. So this is one area that we will want to do. Same as the youth side, we had set ourselves a target to say we'll go to 4.5 billion. By 2020, but already we're at 4.4, but we're saying that's not enough and we need to continue to do more. Regional, that's on slide 33. Regional spread is very important, Chair. That's why when we present our results, we go around the country to make sure that we people, not only do they have access to the IDC, that's why we've got offices, which Lizo is representing the Western Cape here. On the right, Chair, we also track small and medium-sized enterprises. It's important that we do that because some of the big projects that we do feed into SMEs, but also in some instances those SMEs grow themselves to be into big business. So, and we know a number of countries, particularly in Europe, I mean, they thrive on SME, and SMEs create jobs much faster than big entities. So that's why we track that. we do have some of the big subsidiaries. I mean, we have, how many subsidiaries do we have, CFO?
Over 40,
but here we're just highlighting the three big ones. CIFA, which also reports to the Small Business Development Ministry, is our wholly owned subsidiary. It's doing relatively well, but we're keeping a close eye on it. In fact, we have both the CFO and the CRO as board members so that we know what's happening, and we make sure that they continue to contribute. One area that's plaguing them is the impairments, but we're keeping an eye on that. Let's start with score. We've broken it into three now. Two, we've got strategic partners. There's one, we have a partner whom was busy negotiating with on the one part, being the CAST product, and we also continuously talking to Eskom because the CAST Transnet, because the CAST product is actually very important in Transnet's life. So we're talking to some of the partners. I went there 2 weeks ago to the US to talk to them. Fosco is finding it tough. It continues to be tough. The low rent, the weaker rent helps a little bit. The board is put in a committee together with management, and we're looking at all options. That includes also whether we need another partner in addition to the one that we have. So we're focusing on that to make sure that we indeed sustain this company. That's very key in the South African economy, not only in terms of it having turnover of just under 6 billion, but the employment that it creates, close to 3,000 jobs that are there in both Phalaborwa and Richards Bay. but also the role it plays in the agricultural industry of ours. So this is one area which we're focusing on. Those are the three key ones. There's lots of other subsidiaries. We have subsidiaries in the textiles, as I said. For an example, the one that will be giving you the product is also one of our subsidiaries. There's other parts of the business that we do, Chair, that we and committee members that we never talk about on the social economy. We said let's just highlight them, because if you look at them, maybe the numbers are not that big, but if you look at the beneficiaries, I mean, the beneficiaries are quite substantial, and this is one part of our unit that works into that. Not only is it only CSI, but all the social entrepreneurs. We know the social entrepreneurship is a relatively difficult space. It's not easy for funders to get into this sector, but a number of opportunities do indeed provide themselves. So we have a unit that looks after that. We mobilize some of the funding as well. So we've got some case studies, which I will not go through them in detail, Chair, so that we give the CFO some time. But it shows how we work with communities, skill them up, help them transform. And then also on the CSI as well, Chair, ours, we see it as very different. We put in a lot of money on schools and TVETs, and then we also put in money on the CSI, on the entrepreneurship on the CSI side. For we invest in TVETs and schools because we know there we're building a future leaders, Chair. So, Chair, let me pause here. I'll come at the end and give the Chief Financial an opportunity to present on the financial performance. Because for us to do everything that we have to do, we must make sure that indeed we have the money to be able to sustain. And also we do have funders that we go to time, not only to raise capital, but also to negotiate better terms. In fact, at the World Bank meetings, we saw many funders who are still very keen to deal with the IDC to help us with long-term financing so that we can do what we're reporting. And also the team had gone on a roadshow to also talk to the funders and tell them what we've done. But let me leave all of that to the capable hands of the CFO.
Thank you, CFO. Again, good morning, members of the Portfolio Committee, Chair, and all the honorable members. Chair, as the CEO says, we go drive the development in the country and the continent, but it is critical for us that the IDC continues to be a financially sustainable entity. We have closed the financial year in March 2018, Chair, as you indicated, and we were audited by Sizwe Nsaluba Kobodo. But I just want to add that there is another firm, Ngubane and Company, that is part of our audit team in the new set of auditors that we're working with. They gave us a clean bill of health, an unqualified audit report, and we are very pleased with that as well, that the numbers came through in an unqualified report. So, Chair, if I just go remind the committee of our group structure. So we do all our funding activities in what we call mini group, and out of that we then would have acquired entities, and some of which are subsidiaries. And as I indicated just now, we've got over 40 subsidiaries. We've got over 100 associates that we have to consolidate into our financial statements. And then we've got quite a long list of other investments that are just disclosed as investments, and that's what makes our group structure. You will see that in this slide we show SCORE South Africa in a different color, but as the CEO indicated, we now have found partners that we are working with on SCORE, and as a result, it requires that we disclose it a bit differently in the financial statements, and I'll talk to that when we look at the numbers themselves. So, Chair, to highlight the numbers, the group profits are at 14.2 billion, and you will see we've put an asterisk next to that number. So what we had to do as a result of having gotten some partners, yes, I must do both. So as a result of having
closed some deals with some partners that are helping us with SCORE. Accounting requires that we disclose SCORE a bit differently, in that the revenue and the cost of sales for SCORE are not in the same line as we consolidate. So it almost shows the numbers as though they have decreased from 14.2 billion to from 17 billion to 14.2 billion. But there is about 3.6 billion revenue that relates to SCORE that we would not have disclosed in that line. And had we disclosed every line, our revenue would have shown an increase of about 3%. So it is a disclosure matter that we show revenue going down. Our net profit at group level grew to 3.2 billion. We had reported 2.2 billion in 2017 financial year. And I will show you a bit of detail in terms of which are the significant contributors that increased our revenue. The associate entities that I spoke about earlier also contributed positively, 419 million to our profits. However, it's a bit lower compared to the previous year, and we did see some of our entities experiencing some challenges, some due to drought challenges and some due to the economic challenges, but nevertheless, it's still a positive contribution. Our asset base therefore grew to 137 billion from 130, as our disbursements also grew, but also just the value of our assets showed some growth. Now, the mini group where we do our activities shows an increase in revenue from 7.7 billion to 8.9. There is a number of contributors to that number, including some significant dividends that we received from the likes of Kumba, who had been challenged in the previous years as the resources were struggling and the value was not at the right levels. The net profit is at 2.8 billion and the impairment is at 17.4%, which is a little bit higher than the 16.7 we showed. And again, in the next slide, I will show a little bit of a breakdown. The fair valuation of our assets grew as well from 83 billion to 89 billion. So if I just show line by line, Chair, the income statement, you do see the revenue at 17 to 14.2 the new year. And we did the same thing with the cost of sales, where 9 billion in the previous year, and again, it's a disclosure matter that results in a decrease in those numbers. The important number that I just want to highlight is the cost of financing our business, which is where we go out to lenders and raise money, and that money costs us, in the financial year we're talking about, there's 2.4 billion rands that we had to pay as a result of working with capital markets. And it is a number that we look at very closely because it determines how much benefit we can pass to the end users for the development. And we continue to try to look for costs of funding that is reasonable because we continued with a model that says IDC will raise money from the capital markets, will use their own internal profits, but also will use the matured investments that we believe we can exit and invest that money in new investments. Hence, you see the next line called net capital gains that shows 2.4 billion rands. So we exited some of our investments in the current year to ensure that we can reinvest that money in new projects. But because some of investments that we exited had been acquired at much lower cost at the time and have appreciated in value, resulting in us being able to record some gains. Also, we show a line called other income, and again here we exited an investment. There's a number that is significant at 1.6 billion rands that is other income. This is where we had previously invested in an Exxaro BE-related structure that was exited about November 2016, and in that year we had recognized some profits. But as the structure continued into the future, we also participated in the new structure, and as a result of our participation, we were given some free shares, which we recorded as day one gain, and they form part of that other income of 1.5 billion. So this is a structure that had been existing before. And again, it talks to the IDC being a long-term investor, a patient lender, and over time you do see significant positives coming through, although we also over time sometimes have to recognize some significant impairments. And again, then you see the next line being impairments, which is 2.6 billion, much higher than the 954 that we recorded in the previous year. Of the investments that we have, there are those that were able to reverse impairments. And Chair, you would recall when we reported our results last year, we reported quite significant reversals because there were investments like Galahadi, which we had been part of for many years. And while they were going through construction, we had to recognize some impairments. But they then were completed and in commercial operation, and we began to see some value, hence we reversed impairments. But in this financial year, we've had to recognize some impairments on Fosco, and maybe I'll ask the CRO to also comment on the slide that talks to the impairments as well. But we recognize significant impairments, which we believe, as we work with Fosco, as the CEO indicated, that those impairments would be reversed in the long term. Operating expenses are very closely managed and controlled. We try and make sure that within the IDC and the significant subsidiary, we drive a culture of efficiency, and a growth in operating expenses should ideally not exceed inflation. And as you can see, the numbers are a little bit lower, but also it has an impact that we have removed the score numbers in there. Just to move off that slide, Chair, to focus on the main subsidiaries. So we recorded a bottom line profit at a mini group level of 2.8 billion. But just to highlight the three subsidiaries which are quite important and strategic to the IDC, Fosco, and on a technical side, CO has commented, we are highlighting that we show a loss of 763, and there's a lot of work happening to fix Fosco. But Chair, I just want to highlight that last year the loss was much higher, and the work that has started on Fosco is beginning to pay off, because that number last year was about 902 million rands, and it's lower this year at 763. We continue to put an effort to work with Fosco to be turned around. At SCORE, as the CEO indicated, we've found a solution, and we already are seeing some results, although they are challenged with the economic conditions. But again, at SCORE, we recorded much higher losses last year of about 700 million, and we see 538. And as we indicated when we brought the corporate plan to the committee, we have put in numbers in the medium to long term for these entities to actually record profits, which are in our corporate plan as presented to the committee. CIFA shows 269 million, but CIFA, you will recall that they receive a grant from National Treasury, which comes through EDD, and the grant they received in this year was about 230 million. So if you take that into account, it actually neutralizes that loss. But we always want to see CIFA's performance on standalone basis without taking that into account. But it is actually neutralized. But CIFA is, again, an important vehicle for the level of economic activity and the market that it's required to penetrate. Hence, although we've got significant impairment, that grant comes in to help us neutralize the impact. Chair, if I move on to just a bit of a detail in terms of our sources of income, the IDC is really sustained by significant dividends that we received, both from our listed and unlisted investments. So you see a very significant increase on the listed dividend income from 1.4 to 2.6 billion. That was driven by the fact that Kumba had not paid a dividend, I think, in the past 2 years, 2016 and 2017. And in the 2018 financial year, they gave us a dividend of about 1.2 billion rand, and it contributed positively to our performance. The other sources including interest income, also contributed positively, as well as the day one gain that I highlighted in the previous slide. If I go to slide 49, this is now to highlight in a bit of a detail the impairment numbers, where in 2018 we recorded a significantly higher number than we did in 2017. And again, Chair, as highlighted, there are long-term... Yes. So there are long-term moves in the negative and positive in the impairment number. As you can see, we've got 2 billion in 2017, and we had significant reversals because we saw progress in some investments. But in 2018, we had to recognize an impairment for Fosco as we continue to work to turn it around. And of all the numbers that you see that are on impairment, the Fosco is the significant contributor. The second contributor was SCORE. As we were continuing to work with the strategic equity partner, we again they had to recognize a significant number. But we are pleased that with the introduction of these equity partners and the work they are doing, we do expect that SCORE will turn around, even though it is not likely to continue to be a subsidiary of the IDC going forward, because these strategic equity partners would take a significant portion. Also, Chair, when we look at impairment, I just want to highlight that we have not yet taken into account the implication of IFRS 9, which is a standard that is an accounting standard that will come in 2019 when we close the year and will result in changes in the numbers and how we account for impairment and may result in higher numbers for impairment. The next slide is just to highlight the performance of our listed portfolio. So in the listed portfolio, we've got, again, a number of counters or entities, but maybe to highlight the top three, which is Sasol, Kumba, and BHP Billiton. We have seen significant turnaround in those entities, where Kumba in 2016 was valued at about 3.3 billion. We see it at 11.7 billion in 2018. So it has contributed significantly to the growth in our balance sheet as well. And we are hoping for that trajectory to continue in the right direction, because these are very important when we talk to the lenders, as they assist our balance sheet to be strong, as we borrow money against our balance sheet and we do not get any guarantees from our shareholder. On slide 51, as we continue to approve investments with clients, we are at the time we close the year, there is 27 billion that was ready for disbursements but would be disbursed over a period of time, which would have been approved in the previous years. Now, what would happen is we will continue to approve and that number will grow, and we will disperse it as we move forward. As the CEO indicated, the need is greater. Even though we're showing significantly growing numbers, we need to continue to grow the levels of approval so that we can inject the money into the economy for the growth to show. Chair, just the last two slides. Our financial position is fairly strong. Our balance sheet has grown from the levels of 130 billion to 137 billion in the 2 years we're reporting on. We are very cautious that at any point in time, IDC has enough cash to sustain itself in the short and the long term, but also that we've got enough facilities with our lenders that will assist us to manage our financial requirements. And as I indicated, the reserves have continued to grow. Now, as we raise our borrowings, just to talk on the last slide, number 53, Chair, the IDC Act allows us to go out to the capital markets and raise up to 100% in terms of the debt to the equity. But our board took a decision that we should not exceed 60% at any point in time, just to be prudent. And as you can see, at group level at the moment, we have borrowed up to the levels of 36%. Our borrowings were very low years back. As you can see, in 2014, we're coming from the levels of 20%, but we still have room to get to 60% going forward, and therefore we continue to use sources of funding from the capital markets in combination with exiting matured investments, as well as the income we get from dividends and exits from investments. Chair, I'll stop on that slide. Thank you.
Thanks, Sifo. Before, Chair, I go to the last two slides, really, on the looking ahead, in fact, the last one slide, I want to give the Chief Risk Officer an opportunity, because it's at the back of a strong balance sheet, we need to make sure that we have the assets that are indeed strong. Maybe he can talk about the quality of our assets, but also the interventions that we've made, Chair, and the CFO has highlighted the levels of impairments and the efforts that we're making in cleaning up the book. But maybe, Pax, do you want to talk to the impairments? I mean, we can go back to that slide 49. Yeah, 49.
Thanks, CEO. Afternoon, members. Just to give a background on our picture in terms of assets and impairments. Our impairments is really affected by five main things I would like to highlight. The big thing would be the economic situation. In times of a slow economic activity, our companies that we fund really take a knock because we really fund startups, new companies, and when the economic situation turns down, those are the first companies that suffer because they have not built sufficient reserves at that stage, unlike bigger companies which can withstand a prolonged economic decline. Secondly, because we tend to fund startups, we tend to put more equity type of investments than debt type of investments. And as we know, with equity, it really takes time to grow and to be a sustainable entity. And our approach to funding these entities is that when they encounter difficulties, as the IDC, our first approach is not really to liquidate and close down on the facilities. Our approach is really to support the entrepreneur. And during that time, it might entail putting more money, even though the company is not performing at that stage. And in terms of the accounting rules, at that stage, when we're putting more money, while the company is not servicing our facilities, we are required to raise some impairment during that stage, which of course reverses and turns around as time goes on. Thirdly, because our facilities tend to have more moratorium or payment holidays, especially when the companies startup, unlike non-development finance institutions, we don't require that our companies pay immediately as we start to fund them. We normally give them a time to catch up on their cash flows. And again, during that time, we are not able to bring in cash flows and higher valuations in our book. So as expected, in the economic environment we have seen somewhat a substantial increase in the value of our impairments. But as a corporation, our board has set a target for us, which we should not breach in terms of our impairment levels. So if you look on the slide, that red line, in terms of our board set levels, that red line should not exceed 20%. So currently we are within the 20% threshold, but again, as the CEO indicates, we're not quite happy with where it is now, so we are putting a lot of effort into reducing that red line, and some of that entail the restructuring of our unit. As indicated, we have restructured our operations such that there's more focus on the bigger entities, So we've allocated more resources in terms of staff that are dealing with the bigger client, which normally, when they go south, show a higher impairment than the smaller clients. So we're putting more effort in managing those exposures. And we think our activities will reduce those level of impairments in the long run. Thank you.
Thanks, Parliamentary Chair. Let me go just to the last slide, and I appreciate for the committee to have really given us so much time so that we go through this presentation. Chair, the results we show is that the times have been tough, but we've been able to perform, not only on the operational side, being in terms of approvals, disbursements, potential jobs to be created and sustained, transformation, be black industrialists, women and youth. So we've done all of that, even on the regional provincial distribution. But we're the first ones to say we need to do more, Chair. It's clear this economy needs more stimulation. When we presented that, we thought, okay, we will be getting some good recoveries. But as we know, as I said that at the beginning, as we speak now, we're at a recession technically. And looking ahead, that means then we need to do a bit more. We need to really think differently. And as a result of that, we are going to be looking at the stimulus package. The president has mentioned IDC, so there's a number of initiatives that we're looking at, be it some programs on the agro-processing or be it some programs on the different sectors to ensure that we bring in new capacities and or we assist those that don't find. But it's not only us just putting in money, it's how we work smarter in partnership with other players, because it's important that we do all of this in partnership. We know the role of private sector is very important, and we need to be partnering with private sector. We're doing that. I mentioned in the textile industry how that is turning. We're talking to retailers, helps when... And so, Chair, one area which we have not mentioned, as I said, is opportunities in the rest of the continent. We're doing a total overhaul in that unit because we have not done enough. I mean, Chair, we've put in, and we know the continent provides opportunities. That's where we should be going. It helps some of those companies that are going to grow in time and open up. So that's one area which we would look at. We've looked at the last 5 years. We've done some projects, mixed results, created employment. But we surely we can do more, and that's one area where we would look at that. We will change leadership in that unit, and then we will also ensure that we have the people who've got the energy. Because the rest of the continent is also key in the value chains, because that's part of the regional integration. So, Chair, with those number of words, they were not few. we're saying, Chair, IDC is still there. IDC wants to continue to do well, and IDC does indeed realize that there's still a lot of work to be done. It's important that we do it in a responsible way. We're not reckless. We are sustainable. But it's important that as we do all of this, we transform. And for investments that don't perform, we put an effort and ensure that we play our role for those investments that are not necessarily IDCs, as I've shown about 9% in the last 5 years, that are in distress form. We will come in and then see how we can help, be it in post-investment if they are already on business risk. If not, we will work with the other financiers. So, Chair, thank you very much, and we will indeed take questions. And thanks to the committee members for attentively listening to us for over an hour and a bit. Thanks.
Thank you so much, CEO, and your members of Special Executive who added on what you were saying. I think what we will do now, we do have lunch, unfortunately it's finger lunch, that is being served now. We won't take questions now. We'll have to come back for those questions and responses. This is quite a very clear, but somehow can be tricky, a report, because it's not just dealing with 1 year, which is a year under review. It incorporates also progress over years and also projections. So obviously we have, when we ask questions, to look into those types of issues. What impresses us is the fact that a lot has been done, even under quite difficult circumstances. A lot will be clarified or noted in the next session after lunch. Can we now allow members to just have lunch and then come back at 2? Yes, we come back at 2. They can join.